Welcome to the His Way Out Ministries broadcast with Pastor Philip Lee. A friend says to you, once gay, always gay. How do you respond? My child just told me he's gay. What can I do? What causes same-sex attraction? Can a Christian be gay? If I disagree with homosexual practice, am I intolerant and homophobic? Is change possible for the homosexual? How should the church be responding? His Way Out Ministries is dedicated to raising awareness, educating, encouraging, and equipping the body of Christ to minister to men, women, and their families with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. We believe restoration is possible and available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Christ Jesus is calling His church to meet the need of the hour. The question is, will we be prepared? And now, here's Pastor Philip Lee.
Welcome, and thanks again for tuning in. My very special guest on the broadcast today is a friend, ministry colleague. He also happens to be the founder and director of Know His Love Ministries, which focuses on finding one's identity in Christ instead of in culture. He is also the author of a new book coming out this fall titled Line by Line, A Biblical Analysis of Guiding Families of LGBT Plus Loved Ones. My returning guest to the broadcast is again friend Wayne Blankley. Wayne, good to have you back, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on your program.
You bet. Always a pleasure to have you here. And you know, right off the bat, the obvious question would be with regard to your brand new book, again, the title Line by Line, A Biblical Analysis of Guiding Families of LGBT Plus Loved Ones. Why this book, Wayne?
Well, you know, Philip, every denomination has been faced with a crisis with regards to the LGBT issue. It has divided many denominations, and Adventists are no exception. We've needed an outreach to those who experience same-sex attraction and other ideations for decades. And a book came out from our North American division set as a guide, but what it turns out to be is a guide of indoctrination and full acceptance of behavior. It doesn't differentiate between attractions, temptations, and behavior. It lumps it all into identity, and that's where we get off to a bad start.
You know, what I do know of the book, what you've shared with me so far, caused me to remember 1 Corinthians 14:8, which says, if the trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? And this is a battle, indeed. It is. Amen?
Amen. It is. And, you know, there's so much with regard to culture and to society today. And honestly, if you're not interested in a Christian point of view, you have... In America, we have the right to do and believe and act however we want, but still, as there is religious freedom today, if we are going to be Christians and believers in Christ, then our answers and our solutions certainly are in God's holy word.
Yes. Wayne, could I ask you, because you and I travel pretty extensively, and I was wondering, are you still finding in Christian communities that many of our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, they are still believing, they have still bought into the born that way theory?
I am. And, you know, it used to be that many were, you know, they were praying for me. They were trying to get me to come back into the church, into the belief in God. I lived in the gay culture for 40 years, very openly. And the thing is that as so much clergy and church families have not known what to do about this issue, and they've jumped from a position of knowing it to be sin as to be a condition of which you're born with and you can't do anything about. Well, it would be very, very tricky and wrong of God to create us in a situation that there was no solution for. Why create somebody gay and then condemn them for it? It wouldn't make any sense. However, we have all kinds of issues, both prenatally and generationally, and then as we come into society, we have the enemy who's always approaching us to live differently than what the Word says, trying to get us to live according to how we feel. And since we have the stain of sin on us, our natural propensity is going to be towards sin. Whereas God asks us and says, that no matter how you're born, I'm asking that when you come into communication with me, if you fall in love with me, if you seek me, if you desire my ways, then be born again.
Absolutely. And let's take it to the uttermost in terms of this whole subject matter that really, I mean, for you and I, and certainly there are a multitude of other men and women around the world, the subject matter of homosexuality for you and I and many others is not just professional, it's personal. And ultimately, really I believe what's at stake is the authority of Scripture and the Lordship of Christ. It's always important for us to remember, whatever subject we are turning our attention to, when God speaks a word on any subject, He speaks the final word. And you and I know all too well that within the totality of Scripture, there's not one Scripture that condones, encourages, or promotes homosexual practice. Every time it's mentioned, it's always mentioned in the context of a behavior. Not unlike many others, God says, no one is to practice. But here we are today, and certainly things have changed greatly in the world, not only in the world, but also in the church, where many, it seems, more and more are accepting homosexual practice as okay, even with God. Where did that come from?
Well, I believe it fully came from the conditioning of society. You know, if you take the back in the 70s when we started getting television programming that was introducing gay characters that people would laugh at, and then slowly but surely they moved that into a more romantic way, and eventually it became an adaptation. It was no longer thought of as so terribly disgusting, or even if it was, people begin to say, well, what you do is your own business. Well, indeed, what you do is your business, but if you're seeking Jesus Christ, it's His business too. And so what's flying actually under the radar today is the acceptance of heterosexual improprieties, because the LGBT issue has caught so much attention that in the church setting, you know, we have just as many people, if not more, suffering from sexual impurities. And so when I write or when I speak about this issue, it's very important that we all see that we're all leveled together at the foot of the cross, but we need to walk with each other along the way, encouraging each other, not in a worldly identity, but in an identity of who Jesus says that we are.
Absolutely. And again, for you and I mean, this is a subject matter that we have turned our attention to for many, many years, professionally and personally. And you know where I saw the greatest shift, if you will, it was like a dramatic change overnight. It's about 5 years ago. It was actually 5 years ago this past June when America legalized same-sex marriage throughout this nation.
Right.
And literally overnight, there was this shift in the world and in the church in terms of the view became, well, now they can get married, so, okay, let's just roll with it. And I still to this day, when I pause and I think, what happened when we legalized same-sex marriage? The lid off Pandora's box came flying off, and boy, I'm telling you what, it's been a downward spiral ever since.
Right. Well, Philip, almost instantaneously there was begin to be much more blatant push for pedophilia, and there, as you and I both know, there are multiple organizations calling for the naturalization of that. In fact, if you search it on YouTube, you can find just common, ordinary people today coming out in defense of pedophilia. They're, you know, where does it stop? And one, you know, letter I keep watching to be added to the LGBTQ plus is the P, and yet we still have the LGBT community who's distancing themselves just somewhat. But as time progresses, it will also be included, because in those letters, there is really nothing that is unacceptable. Is if you feel this way, that's who you are.
Yes. And we know all too well as well that today, if you challenge, you question homosexual practice on any level to any degree, there are those just waiting to label you as hateful, a bigot, and homophobic. Mm-hmm. And really, again, all we're ultimately trying to do is protect the authority of Scripture.
Exactly.
And the Lordship of Christ. But we have to remember, always very important, this is not about an issue. This is ultimately about people, people whom God loves, and people for whom Jesus died. But Scripture is abundantly clear. God has defined for us in His Word that there are holy boundary lines that we are each to strive to live within, especially when it comes to sexual expression. And one of my points of concern within the gay community is, especially those who would say, I'm a gay Christian, which that's a whole other subject matter. Often many of these men and women say, I'm a gay Christian. They're not only saying, look, my identity as a gay person is okay even with God, but I am special, I'm exempt, I can also practice this. And that is definitely crossing a line, don't you agree?
Well, certainly we have no evidence from God's Holy Scripture that tells us that a same-sex relationship would be honorable to Him. It's not a menu that you get to choose from. Our feelings are very real. I grew up in great pain, and you know, when I left the church at 18 years old, you know, I ran into the gay community who seemed to be accepting of me, loving, quote-unquote, but it wasn't a love and acceptance that is going to bring me eternal bliss, not like what God promises. And so throughout His Word, God gives us examples of what does bring Him honor and glory with the relationship of that, the ideal relationship of a man and a woman. And yet we have no example of same-sex or any other type of relationship bringing Him honor and glory. It would be very unfair of God on Judgment Day to say, oh, well, you could have been gay all along, or you could have had a significant other or marry someone of the same sex. You just had to figure it out for yourself. I wasn't going to tell you about it. Well, then why would that be fair for Him to tell man and woman what was pleasing to Him but not tell us what the other relationships are like that would be pleasing to Him? That's a tricky God. This is clearly from the enemy who's trying to counterfeit everything that Jesus put in place for us.
Yes. May I also ask you, Wayne, in terms of the content in your book, and I believe that there are 18 testimonies included of both men and women.
Yeah.
Within the testimonies that men and women are pointing to the reality of change in their life, how are they defining change? What are they sharing?
Good point. And I'm thank you for your testimony included in that 18. Change, as defined by Know His Love Ministries and also by Coming Out Ministries, and I know many other ministries, the change is what comes as in relation to the surrender of the heart to Jesus. When you invite Jesus into your life, life does change. You don't live the way that you used to. Your thoughts, your attractions, your feelings, these things begin to change. Now, it's not to say that the other feelings can't be resident, because the enemy is never going to stop giving up on attracting us and tempting us, but that's not our identity. Our identity becomes the identity that Jesus has offered us by surrendering to Him, 2 Corinthians 5:17, telling us that we become a new creature in Christ. That's available to somebody in any aspect of life that is disappointing God with their behaviors. Change comes about through the conversion of the Holy Spirit. We, instead of wanting to live for self, we now want to live for Jesus. We want to make sure that our actions and our behaviors are honorable to God. Now, a lot of people want to take that down the road of conversion and reparative therapy, and I will say that, yes, there have been some terrible things that have happened under those types of therapies. One, because they've not been regulated. They were never regulated. You could do anything you wanted to do. However, we can't just lump all change into those kinds of therapies. We need to leave the change up to the Holy Spirit. And for some people, that does turn out to be marrying somebody of the opposite sex. For others, it is a change that says, I am now going to live for Christ. I'm not going to live in a persuasion of sexuality. I've committed my life to Christ, and I will choose not to indulge in those things that He doesn't condone.
Yes, and well said. Thank you so much for those comments. They are greatly, greatly appreciated. I am often, still today, I take a step back in terms of when people challenge if a homosexual can really, really change. And there's all levels or degree of change, but I would submit the greatest change that any of us can experience in our lives is to know that we are born again, to know that our eternal destination has been changed from hell to heaven. We're all in that process of becoming more and more like Christ, and it's a process in each of our lives that continues to either go home to be with Jesus or he comes back to get us. But God clearly defines in his word that with him all things are possible. And, you know, really, when people say, change really for the homosexual, you really believe that's possible? If you believe in an all-sovereign God, your reply has to be absolutely yes.
Right. It's a transformation process. The transformation is from now until the time that he completely changes us. But on the road, on the journey of which all of us are on, you know, I used to think that the church really expected us to be all cleaned up before we entered the church doors. And I would say that ministry today needs to be reaching out to people in the exact condition of which they are in, inviting them in, and then beginning to teach the principles of Jesus, not some feel-good sermon, and then after the sermon you go and fill your gut with whatever's there for potluck, but that you begin to fill your mind and your heart with the teachings of Jesus Christ and the promises of Jesus Christ that can bring about this incredible change in our lives that will last and grow throughout eternity.
Yes. The church remains God's vehicle to reach wounded, broken, hurting humanity, and that includes men and women struggling with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. So let's take this a step further with regard to the church and our role, really, to reach to these individuals. How would you say today we're doing in terms of the church and offering ministry to help these individuals? How are we doing?
Well, we've scratched the surface. There's certainly room for a lot more education and explanation of what this ministry is and what it isn't. We need to reach out with love and compassion. Let's remember, too, that our love and compassion is not always going to be seen as such. You can't control how somebody receives it, but you can be responsible for how you put it out there and how you share it as God has invited us to share the gospel around the world. I think that there are a lot of churches that are still scared to breach the topic. I find that that is rather sad because we should never try to hide Jesus or to ditch a topic or ignore. Again, we're doing the very thing that LGBT community has accused us of by holding them at bay and not bringing them in and wrapping our arms around them and saying, hey, you are valuable, you belong, you're loved, and you should be here. And we're going to walk with you through this. We're going to share each other's burdens as we go through this end crisis in Earth's history. And believe me, in my opinion, from looking around and with all the prophetic things that are being fulfilled, we are definitely at the end.
And I'm remembering the words of Jesus himself, actually the command from Jesus that we're to go and make disciples. Now, again, God created us to be sexual beings. Our sexuality from God is a wonderful gift, providing we're going to really offer and complete true, full discipleship. That must include God's divine intent for human sexuality. Leave that out, and I would question, I have to challenge, has full discipleship really taken place? So really, we're not focusing on reparative therapy or the clinical aspects of helping someone with unwanted same-sex attraction. We're obeying Jesus' command to go and make disciples.
Right, and the commission therein is what goes beyond, you know, making someone who is identifying as LGBT is being singled out. We want to be able to reach to anybody who is suffering under a sexual impropriety, you know, being addicted to pornography or cheating on their wives or premarital sex and indulging in things where clearly the enemy has gotten the attention of man, thinking that sex is who you are. Sex is all that matters. You know, sex sells everything. It's used to sell everything, whereas, you know, it's blasting so loudly that it makes it difficult to hear the tender voice of the Holy Spirit for so many people.
Absolutely. What do you say to those today that their argument is, well, if God is love, then what's wrong with two men or two women loving one another? Because, again, God is love. Isn't that what's paramount? Isn't that what's most important? How do you respond to that?
Well, I say that, you know, God is love, and 1 John tells us that he is the author of love. He is love itself. But when we come in and we redefine love, we're now taking away from God's pure love, and we're defining and creating a love of our own that doesn't hold a candle to what he offers. Let's remember here that when we're tempted, you know, we don't like to talk about Satan or the devil very much at all. People don't like to acknowledge that, but we have to know that he's the prince of darkness, that we're involved in a great controversy that's taking place on this earth. Are we going to walk down the pathway that we're being led by the enemy, Satan, or are we going to walk in the path of righteousness that Jesus offers us? And so it's important that we put the things around us that are going to condition us for the kingdom instead of for this world. And so, yes, you know, we can have elements of love, but it is not the love that God intended. And we're taking so many things and putting the label of love on them when it really isn't the love as God would describe love or define love.
And there are many today that would say, love is a validating factor for behavior. And it's like, whoa, wait a minute. That's real, real dangerous. I mean, we are to love all people, yes, in Christ's name, but that doesn't mean that we have to agree or approve of how many people are living out their lives today. So it's very, very different and very, very dangerous.
Yeah, I would agree. It's, you know, but it's used as the argument, and I, instead of getting deep into the argument, I want to, to confirm that somebody who's LGBT, who's comfortable, who wants to stay that way, that's their choice.
Yes.
Without Jesus, you can do anything you want to do, but there are eternal consequences for that if they are not something that God ordains and sanctifies. And we talk so much about heaven and going to heaven and being in heaven. Why would you want to be in heaven if the domain is as it's written in his word and that he doesn't condone same-sex intimacy? What is it that you think that heaven really is? Because actually, throughout eternity, it's the honor and glory of which Jesus is there for that we would be giving him. This is why the angels in heaven were deluded by Satan, and he said to them, follow the dictates of your own will. You know, you don't need to live according to God's plan.
Yes. And that's an excellent point you're bringing to this discussion. In terms of gay-identified men and women, if they choose to embrace those feelings, emotions, and attractions, that a particular identity, that is their choice, and even God himself will not interfere mm-hmm. with the exercising of their free will choice. But the problem surfaces when we have gay-identified men and women saying, God's okay with this. Even homosexual practice has a blessing to Christianity. Now we have a problem.
Yeah, we do, because, you know, just, you know, religion is and Christianity is separate from the various cultures in the world. And so if we're going to respect even America and the freedoms that America has, we should have the right to promote the words of Jesus, the Bible, and its direction and its guide to us, whereas I see the infringement is coming from the LGBT community today that's dictating how you will believe and what you will believe. And that doesn't seem right to me, as, you know, Scripture tells us.
I would agree. They have the right to choose. They have to believe what they want to believe. They do not have the right to demand that everyone agree with them. And that's the difference.
Correct.
Tell me a little bit more about your book. You have the testimonies. You're focusing largely on ministry, rallying the church. What else is contained in your book?
Well, the main theme in the book is about identity. And somehow we've gotten down this road of looking at attraction, temptation, and behavior and identity as all being lumped into one. And so there are people that will make, that person must be gay, or, that person's gay, look at this or that or the other thing, whereas simply the attractions and the temptations are not the identity that one has if we're looking at things from a biblical perspective. And so a lot of what I want to bring out in the book is that, you know, Jesus defines you of the gift of identity that he gives you. He tells you that you will have temptations and attractions, but that he will give you the strength to be able to get through those temptations if you call upon him, if you claim his promises and live by his holy word. Therefore, we wouldn't have somebody using a sensual description or a sexual description and putting that before Christ's name to say, this is the kind of Christian I am. I'm a sensual Christian. I'm a sex-driven Christian. My sexual identity comes before Christ's name. It clearly dethrones Jesus and says what's important to us.
Absolutely. Well, I greatly appreciate you. I greatly appreciate the ministry of Know His Love Ministries, and I will look forward to getting a copy of your new book, as I'm sure many others listening today will as well.
Absolutely.
Would you do me a favor? We're almost out of time. Again, this goes so, so quickly. For those listening in today, would you please pray for the LGBT community or any way that the Holy Spirit would lead you to pray for those that are listening in this morning?
Oh, that'd be my pleasure. Lord, Heavenly Father, man, I'll tell you, Lord, as you know, I went down this road for so many years in darkness, and the question I had at the end when I came back to you was, what does Jesus want from me? And Lord, you make it clear in your word, it's about surrender, abiding in Jesus Christ, and seeking your ways instead of our own. I pray for the person, dear Lord, who is out there, who is confused, who is hurting, who thinks that this is who they are, when they can find that they actually do have a different identity in Jesus Christ that's not defined by how we feel, but defined by what you say, who you say we are. So, Lord, please send your Holy Spirit to move upon those hearts, and I pray that you will bring us together in that great day when you come, which is very soon. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
For all those listening, Wayne, what is the website address for Know His Love Ministries?
So it's Know His Love, K-N-O-W, hislove.org, and the book will be available for pre-sale on September 4th.
And the title of the book, again, is Line by Line, A Biblical Analysis of Guiding Families of LGBT Plus Loved Ones. You're going to want this as a resource for your library. Always a pleasure to have you here. I appreciate every time you're on and what you share. So the Lord richly bless you. Keep it up.
Thanks so much, Philip. I really appreciate being here. God bless you.
And for all those listening in this morning, thanks so much for tuning in. I hope you'll join me again next week, same time, same station. Until then, our Lord richly bless and keep you.
Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Please join us next Saturday for another His Way Out Ministries broadcast, dedicated to ministering to the body of Christ and the community at large, with the power of testimony, the dialogue of issues, and the truth of Scripture.